Peace, peace, peace to the family. It is your truly, Lamour DeSena. And I also have my partner in crime, my ace, co-host, Michael Jenkins Jr. Peace, family. How you feeling today?
I am feeling powerful today.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that. Yeah, today was a good day, man. Got a lot done. Faced some challenges throughout the day, you know. Sometimes, you know, you gotta be tested. You know what I mean? You gotta be tested. So I think that today was one of those days where it was like it was a good day with the little small trials and errors that came along with it. But it's not bad. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. So today, man, I just wanted to, we talked before about the conversation about fear.
Yeah.
Fear to me, man, I know that we're in a crisis right now. And I also understand that there are a lot of people that have the fear of not knowing what the outcome is going to be. And due to it being a fear of not knowing, I think it can cause different levels of stresses. You know, emotional distress in many different ways. And I'm excited about this message today or this podcast today because there's a lot of good information that we're going to share and hopefully inspire some people. Like always, you know, we're at the cool spot, the place where creative millennials meet. Being that we're both artists, on a serious note, besides just being an artist, we're also ministers of the gospel.
Absolutely.
You know, so for those that don't know, now you know, we just extended ourselves to learn more than just what the Bible teaches. We keep up with more than just what the Bible teaches. I'm sure you don't mind me speaking for you, Brother Mike, but I definitely believe that to be able to be prosperous and to be able to succeed and get to the next level, we have to get out of the mindset of being one-dimensional. And that's why I think that this right here, what we're doing, and even with the ability to be able to stretch like we do to get this information together for the people, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lot of pressures because we still have to deal with our daily lives, work schedules and everything else. You know, I know a lot of people on layoffs and everything, but there's still a lot of pressures to get this together. But I'm happy, man, that we're able to, you know, come together. If not face to face, thank God for the internet. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
Yeah, yeah. So definitions, man. Let's start off with a definition of fear.
Yeah.
And I'll start off. So my definition of fear is a negative emotion that flares up when faced with threats, harm, and uncertainty. I had a different definition at first, but as I began to research, my definition was more so defining more like an anxiety rather than fear. I had to kind of broaden my thinking on that as well to kind of revamp, revise, revisit. And that's what I came up with, man. What would you say?
Man, me, I like to use acronyms, man. It makes it,
there you go.
It simplifies it and also makes the word that much more complex, has a, you know, complex splendor to it. So
yeah.
Fear, for me, is not a word.
Yeah.
It's a sentence.
Gotcha.
It's four letters. F-E-A-R, right?
Yeah.
For me, it's forget everything.
Yeah.
And run.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget everything you was taught.
Get everything and run.
Everything
right.
And run. Run
right.
Like heck.
Right.
Because that's what people do when they do have that particular emotion set.
Yeah.
But there's another one that's really popular that people use is experiences appearing real.
What is it? Say it again.
False experiences appearing real.
False experiences appearing real. I like that.
Right, because it ends up in their mind first.
Right.
It didn't happen at all, but it's in their
right.
mind first, and they believe that that is exactly how it's going to be, and avoid that at all costs.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. And that's definitely going to be in the point later on. And we'll get to that, man. It's going to be good. This is going to be real good. I'm excited. So I think something that I found online too, there's a very well-known map commissioned by the Dalai Lama back in 2014 called the Atlas of Human Emotions. And what it is, it's pretty much a map that lays out human behavior patterns of emotions. And it breaks everything down into steps. Now there's various forms of it now because, you know, the people aren't always inspired by the original, and then they have their replications of it and kind of expand it out a little bit more and more and more. But this one, I like it because we wanted to stick to the topic of fear. And the steps of fear from least to greatest starts like this and ends like this. Trepidation, nervousness, anxiety, dread, desperation, panic, horror, and terror. Mm. I think that sounds about right. What you think?
It sounds about right, but
what do you think?
I don't know. You know, when we get to thinking about that in terms of religion, we have been taught that fear was thought of as respect. God fearing man. So, so let me ask you this, Lemoy, is there a such thing? We know that there's a such thing as an unhealthy fear.
Yes.
Does that mean that there's a such thing as a healthy fear?
A healthy fear?
Yeah.
I would say yes. I would definitely say there is a such thing as a healthy fear. I don't want to get a healthy fear and the word respect, tie those in together. I'm trying to keep them separate, but I would say that there's a healthy fear when it comes to God. I would definitely hold true to that, but there's a difference between God and man and how we are to view both. So if I'm under leadership of a pastor that wants me to fear him, that's not God. It's not godly, it's not godlike, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the difference in that is, you know, we're talking about God being the creator of all things, right? The omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscience, the everything, right? If he is the God, true and living God, then he has a higher level of respect that I need to reference. Man is not God. Man cannot write their words in red. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they cannot get upset for the things of God, right? And we're going to get into all this, bro. That was a good question. That was a real good question. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into all of this. But they cannot write their letters in red and play God or play Christ. They also do not have the right to condemn, right? And this mm-hmm. is going to be something that we're going to go into. Mm-hmm. So man likes to use fear and a shape of condemnation to keep people in this sense of respect, but it also brings a false sense of salvation, if that makes sense. Mm. So, but we'll get there. We're going to get there. That was a good question. I like that one. I got the rebound. I got it. I like that.
Yeah.
Got me thinking for a second there. That was good. So what do you think about the current crisis that we're in right now? Like, how do you think this will impact the mental state of our communities after this whole pandemic is over with? Like, what do you think is going to change?
I think that for some people, it's not going to ever be over. I think that the fear is going to go in so many different levels and layers that it's not going to matter who says what. It doesn't matter if the CDC says you can take those masks off, you ain't got to look like ninjas or surgeons.
Right.
There are still going to be people out there saying, I'm not taking my mask off. They're going to say, it's a government conspiracy. They're going to take all the masks off, and then they're going to announce that, oh, oops, we forgot. It's still out there, and everybody's going to get sick and die. Again, a false experience
that's
appearing real.
Right.
So then, I believe is going to happen with most people. Now, if we're going to narrow this down to where I'm going to feel about this, I'm taking this as a way to relax, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to. I can't say we talk all the time, but we do talk, it's him me saying, I've been busy and I've been busy.
Hey, right, and right. That's true. Right. And that's true.
So this that's should true. Be a time to reflect. It's funny. You know, the people who are in this fear that are experiencing this falsely, if they saw it for in altruism, this is supposed to be a break. This is supposed to be a time where you can reflect upon your relationship with God and be even closer to Him because you don't have too many distractions in the way.
That's right. That's right.
Most of these people, they could not stand waking up in the morning on Monday to go to their job that they didn't like, to go to talk to that boss or to smoosh in order to make that boss happy that they didn't like at that job that they didn't like.
Right.
All of a sudden, now, because the vacation is forced, they can't stand being in the house. It's funny.
Right.
Now, one of the other things, and I hope that I don't dig too deeply in this, and if so, just give me one of these, Coach.
No, you're good. You're good.
But, you know, I think it's funny that people believe that, you know, God being the ultimate creator, that God is not also the ultimate destroyer. He is the Alpha
and on it.
The Omega.
I got the rebound.
This is not something that God has placed here as a means of catastrophe to get you to get your mind right.
Open up, right.
Realize what has value in your life.
I agree. And you know, going back to what you said when you started off, a lot of people won't forget. Like, go back at the Tulsa, Oklahoma riot, right? If like the people that were there that are still alive today, they're still affected by it, right? Yeah, they've never forgotten. Like, they've been programmed to not even talk about it. Right. So if it wasn't for the reporters and the what's that little television series, The Watchmen or Watchmen?
That's right.
Like, that would have been a forgotten era. Like, people would have just been forgotten. Years would have gone down. You have these, you know, Generation X and Generation Y, like nobody's asking questions. It would have just dissipated, bro.
Yes, it would have.
And completely forgot it. So I just think, like, there will be hundreds of thousands affected by this mentally. And if I were a conspiracy theorist, I would call this something like an Operation Reset. You know what I mean? I would definitely call this an Operation Reset. If I was a conspiracy theorist, now, you know, we try to lay out the facts. You know, that's not the subject matter today, is trying to prove or disprove. If I was a conspiracy theorist, bro, I would definitely think that this would be a reset. You know, because think about the people that cares about history. What are the age range, right? We're talking about the older bracket. Yeah. So if they're the ones that's keeping history alive, but they're the ones that's being swept away, slowly but surely, people are actually dying off, man, that holds the keys to the history that we should know. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of find it interesting, man. And I don't know, man. What are your thoughts, bro? What are your thoughts? Help me get my words together.
The idea of history being forcefully unlearned.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For some, they see that as a very terrible thing. They see that as the absolute end of them. And these are the people that are older in age who are a part of that history. It's almost as if that history goes, then what is their value on the planet?
Right.
What lessons do I have behind me? What wars could I talk about surviving through if the only time you even think of those wars is if you saw it on a Netflix
episode?
Yep. Or you played it by pressing R2 in some video game.
Right. That's good.
So there's a desensitization that comes with that, with this generation. The millennial generation, whatever generation. Mm-hmm. I think they even call it Generation Alpha now, because they did not want the Z, because that sounds like that they are the last ones.
So there's a Generation Alpha. Is that what they call it now?
Like Alpha. This is starting. This is the true starting this over is, as far as
generation. Right. Come on now.
We're going back to this whole thing of 2020 being the what? New vision. Right. So what do we want to see? What do we not want to see?
Wow, bro.
And coming from the perspective of someone who has three children, they're all teenagers, and I ask them the exact same thing. And they're just like, I'm just chilling. It's not even a big deal to them because they haven't been on this planet long enough to say that they lost something. They started different. So for that particular age bracket, I'm talking about 20 and younger, they chilling. 40, me, us, older. We're the ones that's thinking like the world is ending. Here's what I would say could be one approach towards this fear thing. And it's not an instant cure to it. It's not an instant kill of this fear, but it's something that you have to think about. Maybe it's the world as we know it will end.
Mm.
Not the world itself as a whole.
Right.
Maybe that could be one step towards not being as fearful for us.
Right.
Kids got it already. They're not worried at all.
Yeah. I agree, man. You know, I think back at the question of fear, and being that we're in a crisis, death is on the front line. You know, everywhere you look, when you hear the word COVID-19 or coronavirus, the first word that comes to mind now is death. And it's petrifying. People are in terror, right? Looking at going back at the scale, people are in terror right now because family members are dying off. This is worse than the flu. The impact is greater. It's quicker. It's just sweeping the nation, the world, really. And I believe, like I just look at the way that the news is moving and how they're going about disseminating the information. It's like it's all negative. And of course, it's not nothing good about it. But there's new studies that's out there that shows a lot of the new deaths that's happening with the older people, it may not even be affiliated with
that's
the virus,
right.
But they're crediting it to the coronavirus, and that kind of gives another increase on the numbers for coronavirus, which in return give us that fear. What's the acronym for fear? False experiences appearing real. Right. So it may not be as bad, but it's definitely bad, right?
Yeah.
And I think of the word, when I think about death, I think it's a hard discussion for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And for a few reasons. For one, I believe that when people talk about death, like for me, I'm okay with talking about death, right? Because I feel like I'm working, I'm fulfilling my purpose. And the works that's at hand is great. You know what I'm saying? It's effective. So for me, I don't believe God is going to give me something this great and it just wipe me out. Not now, not yet. Right. I still got work to do. You know, and that's my belief, and it's from the heart, and it's sincere, because what I'm giving is sincere and it's real. So a lot of people, I've been asked a few times by some people that finds out when they say, yo, you a minister? I didn't know. Man, and then they go into like their questions about God. And one of the popular questions that I get is, well, if God is a good God, then why do good people have to die? Right? And my response is, well, everybody has to die. You know, that's just the norm. Like, we all have to die. Like, it's not on our terms on how people leave us, right? And secondly, I turn it back on them and I ask them the question. If you believe that, I ask them, I say, well, do you believe that it's purpose that everybody make it into heaven? That's the question that I give them back in return, right? I think it's a good question, because now you have to self-reflect to see if you're even eligible or qualified, or what does your moral compass look like? What does the entire nature of self looks like? Mm-hmm. And what do I understand about heaven, being? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now it's this self-reflection of self, and it stumps most people. And they'd be like, man, I never thought about that. And I'm like, well, think about it. Like, if it was purpose that everybody's going to make it into heaven, we'd be in a better world. Like, everybody on this earth would be in a better position right now. but that's not the case. And that's evidence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So no, it's not purpose that everybody's going to make it into heaven. It's not on our time, on when people come and go. It's all divine. And who knows? Like, when I talk about death, I tell people, like, if it takes for my death to happen so that somebody else could see God, right, then so be it. Because I'm working. And through my works, you will see God, right? So be it. If you see God through my works, then it's going to draw you closer. And I fulfill my purpose. That's right.
So, you know what I mean? What that sounds like to me then is another way to rid ourselves of fear. If mm-hmm. we have kids, if yes. we are part of a village.
That's good.
Then we have to fulfill that mission to them.
Yes.
And also provide them a mission as well. Because if they think every day is all the same, and not one is different from another, then it's expendable.
Right.
And then you create something that's totally different from fear. You create a person that is fearless of death.
Fearless.
They don't care about it. I want you to care about it.
Right.
Things that we want you to care about.
Right.
But not to an extreme. And I think that's where the whole idea comes from.
These
extremes.
Of fear and being
of life and death, you know, because heaven could be quite a relative thing from mm-hmm. person to person, depending on who you ask. Some people's idea of heaven sounds like
right here on earth.
Yeah.
Right.
And some of it is complete debauchery. Oh, yeah, I can just go ahead and just and put my who, what, in whoever's where. Whenever I feel like it, and do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, and all of these different things.
Come on, yeah.
So, we have to be careful. I wouldn't say we're so fearful to where we're scared to ask those questions.
Right, and that's what a lot of people church lose it. Right.
Yeah.
They miss it.
That's right.
That's good.
First time that you touch the top of a stove, and you find out that it was hot, and you went... And you just never touch it again because you are in fear. You would never learn how to cook. But we learned.
Right. That's true.
This thing.
Yeah.
With this virus, it's the same thing with this, with any and everything that you see on the news. Listen, I watch and listen to a very limited amount of what goes on social media.
Right.
Or what goes on.
Yeah.
I used to call it anti-social media.
Right.
on the news or any of these different things, because that also feeds into the fear. You can get so much of this information, man. You can swear that it's happening to you right now. Worst doctor you ever talked to is Dr. Google. Go ahead and get a call.
Yeah.
And look that stuff up and say you're going to die tomorrow.
Right.
All the information we put out there, the information we allow in, I think that's another thing. It is, man.
So while on that note, I want to share, I talk a lot. I guess one of the highlights of my time right now is, my season right now is when I went into a state of depression the end of last year, right? And high blood pressure, hypertension, like it was all kinds of stuff. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And life was just falling apart from what it seemed. Just a lot of testing, a lot of trials. It was bad. It was rough, right? So what helped me out of that was, give me that definition. Give me the acronym of fear again. It's feelings.
False experiences
appearing real. And I love that so much. Like, it really highlights what I went through, because a lot of what I felt, I just knew, like, well, how did I get myself into this? And how do I get myself back out? Mm-hmm. And there's levels to it as far as how I came out of my state of depression, right? So you have the mental state where, for me, I had to not only learn about just the general information about mental health, but I also had to learn about neuroscience, right? I had to understand how the processes of neuroscience work with the brain. Yeah. And how, you know, neurons connect and how you learn and all kinds of stuff, right? And then not from just that point, but also a physical state, meaning that I had to go exercise, work out, sweat a whole lot, you know, and really focus on that. And then I had to focus on my spiritual state. So in the spiritual realm, so what happens is, I think I talked about it before, probably on the live, I can't remember. But so what happens is, you know, the things that you deal with in the natural, once you have faith to walk into something, whatever that thing may be, mm-hmm. faith is the first step into spirituality, right? So if I have faith in you, bro, we have a spiritual connection. If you agree that I have faith in you, there's a connection there, spiritually. Yeah. So now I have to be tested by that faith, right? So if I say I got faith, then that faith needs to be tested. Now, when that faith is tested, it shows how I'm going to react and respond to it.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you're not only just dealing with a spiritual battle, but you're also dealing with the battle that's within the mind. Because you can do something so long that the body learns how to do it better than the mind can hold, right? So, prime example, we're going to go in. So check this out. So it's not just a mental thought. It's not just a thought anymore. It's not just the spiritual part or the spiritual battle. But now I have to understand how the mind works. I've learned that, and we're going to talk about it here, but I've learned that a mood, there's what's called a refractory period. And the refractory period is when the time and space between the moment that you conceive the thought to the time that you've actually began to walk in that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And start allowing that to shape and mold you. That's your refractory period, right? Mm-hmm. And then from the time that you've allowed it to begin to mold you, there's where the mood starts. Check with me 6 months down the line, like, yo, what's up? You good? Like, nah, I don't know. I'm still bothered by that thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, so that mood is now called temperament. From temperament, a year or two later, now we got a personality trait. So now my body is used to feeling a certain kind of way when I'm thinking or if I'm feeling that one thing that began this whole journey. Mm-hmm. My mind could actually take me right back to that space and that whole feeling, that rush of energy, negative energy, that rush of the emotional feelings that I had. You know, all of that could come back. The mind will actually bring that back to you. So there's a guy that I came across named Dr. Joe Dispenza, right? Phenomenal neuroscience, very well known around the world. He's into spirituality, into a lot of, now I'm not telling people to look him up and turn him into your God and the end all be all, like he has the cure, he's the savior. Yeah. I'm not saying that because I started researching deeper and deeper and deeper it went. He's talking to spirits and all kind of stuff. So I'm like, okay. And seeing spirits and all that. Not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm not ready for that.
We'll say that.
It's interesting. Bro, like, I'm not ready for that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'm ready to see actual spirits in the, like, and standing in front of me, and I could actually articulate every piece of detail about them. And no, I'm not ready for that.
would you say that you'd be in fear of it?
Or I think I would be in fear. I think I would be in fear. That's just me. I think you're right. So check this out. So I'm going to give you an excerpt of an interview that he did that explains all of this, right? It's just a tad bit lengthy, but bear with me. It says this, and I'm going to take my time reading this so hopefully you guys can get it, all right? He says, the stronger the emotional reaction you have to some experience in your life, the higher the emotional quotient, and the more you pay attention to the cause. The moment the brain puts all of its intention on the problem, it takes a snapshot. This is called a memory. Memories are created from very high emotional experiences. So what happens then is people then think neurologically within the circuitry of that experience, and they feel chemically within the boundaries of those emotions. So when you have an emotional reaction to someone or something, most people think that they can't control their emotional reaction. What it turns out, and this is quote for quote, what it turns out if you allow the emotional reaction, it is then called a refractory period. Going back to that. So when it lasts for hours or days, it's called the mood. Say to someone, what's up? What's going on with you? They say, hey, you know, I'm in the mood. Well, why are you in the mood? Well, something happened to me, you know, 5 days ago. And I'm having this long emotional reaction. And if you keep that same emotional reaction going on for weeks on end to months, that's called temperament. So, hey, you know, what's going on? Why are you so bitter? I don't know. Listen, somebody asks, why is he bitter, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go to the person, and the person says, well, I had this thing happen weeks and months ago, and this is long emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. You ask the person again, person says the same thing. By this time, it becomes a personality trait. If you learn how to shorten the refractory period of emotional reactions, that's where it really, where all the real work begins. People, when they have an event, what they do is they keep recalling the same event because the emotional stress hormones or survival hormones say, pay attention to what's happening because you want to be prepared if it happens again. This is where people lose trust, right? It turns out most people spend 70% of their lives living in survival and living in stress, always anticipating the worst case scenario based on a past experience. And they're literally out of the infinite potentials of the quantum field. He says this, they are selecting the worst possible outcome and they're beginning to emotionally embrace the fear and they're conditioning their bodies into that state of fear. Do that enough times, the body has a panic attack without you. And you can't even predict because it's programmed subconsciously. Wow. So let's ask the person one more time.
You're going to have to say again. Say that last, those last two sentences again.
He says this. He says, do that enough times and the body has a panic attack without you that you can't even predict because it's programmed subconsciously. This stuff is deep, bro. So what I'm telling you, where it messed me up and I had to learn, there's phases to beating like mental health issues and the high blood pressure and the stress and all of that stuff. Bro, it was hard work, but is it doable? Absolutely. You know what I mean? So let me finish what he said. I'm going to finish what he said, and I'm going to let you go. Watch this, though. So he said, do that enough times, and the body has a panic attack without you that you can't even predict because it's programmed subconsciously. So let's ask the person one more time. Well, why are you this way? And the person will say, well, I know why I'm this way. Because of this event that happened to me 15, 20 years ago at this point. Right now, what that means from a biological standpoint is that they haven't been able to change since that event. So then the emotions from that experience tend to give the body and the brain a rush of energy. So people become addicted to the rush of those emotions. And they use the problems and conditions in their own lives to reaffirm their limitations. At least they can feel something so that when it comes to the change, you say the person, why are you this way? Well, every time they recall the event, they're producing the same chemistry imbalance in the brain and the body as if the event is firing and wiring the same circuits in that time. This stuff is deep, bro. You know what I mean?
That's my definition of fear scientifically explained.
Yeah.
At the atomic level, at the molecular level, at the neurological level, that's heavy.
It's powerful, bro. And I've studied this. It took me like 3 months to study that, to really get it into my mind, to my mental, to begin to apply. And even when, like, I fell into a state of like sleep deprivation. I couldn't remember much. I went through all of that, but it was horrible. I could start a sentence off and just forget mid-sentence what I was going to say to finish it off.
Yeah.
And I began to just do some research. I started with politics. I think politics is really what helped me kind of bounce back because that's ever changing. It's always changing, right? Mm-hmm. So I started getting into keeping up with what's going on in the political world because I know that was going to be a good challenge to try to keep up with, to at least jump into to see, okay, where could I fit in? Where could I grab hold of? And then just continue to build from there. And that's where like the ideas of, like all of this came from, was from that moment, you know, with how we want to address the people and what we should be learning, because it's a challenge. And I think most people are not into it because it's ever changing and it's a big challenge. Mm-hmm. So for me, I say, well, let me start there and let me just learn what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if I can recall it, then I can retain it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and that's how I began to build those stones from ground up again. So I started retaining, and I go back and start conversation. And I had a good friend of mine. We were actually dating at the time. And we talked about everything. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was phenomenal because it kept me sharp. She was already into that. She took political science in school, had these degrees and all that good stuff. And for me, it was just like, yo, this is icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm going to sharpen my iron. So let me learn all that I can learn. And every day it's like, hey, this is what I learned. This is what's going on. What did you hear? And yeah, you know, this is what I heard, this, that, and third. I'm like, we good.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I'm going to let you go. I said a lot, man. But go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. I got to go back to what you said about the body respond without you. You said something about the body responding without you.
It says do that enough times and the body has a panic attack without you that you can't even predict because it's programmed subconsciously. Powerful, bro.
I mean, that's so heavy. That's such a revelation to that, because that's literally telling me that I am not my body.
You are not. If you've been doing something for so long, your body, it becomes the subconscious mind. So now I'm thinking the subconscious is up here in my mental state, but no, the body has control because my body has been used to these chemical, emotional rushes and the imbalances, because if the thought comes, again, the mind doesn't know if I'm in 10 years ago or 10 years in the future. It's going to give me that same rush of energy if it was happening right now. So if that's what I'm used to, that's why people run from, you know, they hide behind social media, man. You know, people body shame themselves. They have all these different mental illnesses, man, and problems. And they hide behind social media. It's easy. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's something that definitely needs to be addressed, though. But go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You're talking about the social media and the fear and all of that and the shaming and everything. I got a word from Facebook that, and it popped up on my post, there was a young man, 34 years old, who was bipolar affective and committed suicide 24 hours ago. Due to being forced to stay into his home and the anxiety with feeling alone.
Wow.
Fear that this was going to be the rest of his life, that for the rest of his life he was going to be alone.
Right.
You know, the brain is quite a complicated splendor. And we try to simplify it as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But it's not meant to be simplified. Here's why. Because if you think about our brain, which only uses about 5 to 8%, this is idiot or savant. Compare that to the brain of, say, a goldfish. Now, goldfish brain is not even big enough to fit in a corner of my fingernail.
This is
in between the eyes of a goldfish.
Yeah.
Their mental capacity, their RAM, their random access memory, only allows them to experience their lives in 30-minute increments. So imagine this. This is going back to the whole thing about the body doing it on its own without the mind. It's getting so used to this. So a goldfish's brain, when it's hungry for that half hour before you feed it, it is not thinking that it's hungry for a half hour. It's thinking that it is hungry its entire life. When that goldfish is in the midst of murky water and you haven't changed the water, it feels like it has been in that condition its entire life. When it's dying and it's on its last breath, it feels like it's been dying its entire life.
That's good perspective, bro. Wow.
So here we are, right? Here we are. We're in this situation saying, this is the new vision. This is how it's going to be. Everybody needs to look for it. What are they calling it now? WFHs, work from home jobs. I'm seeing that up there. on social media everywhere.
Yeah.
Because they think that this is going to be what it's going to be like their entire life.
Right, right.
Here's the problem with that. When you are having these false experiences appearing real, you forgot about the real experiences. The real experiences are your past and the things that you had overcome before this.
We've been through worse than this.
In our lives, we've been through worse trauma in our lives. I am a minister who has been shot at. COVID-19, that ain't nothing. A sneeze ain't nothing compared to a bullet. You understand?
Right.
I've been through worse. I know you, Lamore, DeSena, have been through worse.
I've been through worse. Much worse.
Whoever is watching this right now has been through worse. So what are we really doing? Are we forgetting everything and running away from how strong we actually are? We've got to be careful.
Got to.
We got to be careful, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember what we went through.
Yeah.
We gotta chew the meat and spit out the bones.
Spit out the bones. Bones,
them dry bones that we don't want to rise again.
Right.
Those fears.
Yeah.
Because the things that we went through, they made us what? Stronger people.
Stronger people. That's fire. And you know, I tell people too, man, like, what does the Bible mean when it says we are to have dominion over the earth? Like, dominion over the earth wasn't just limited to the animals and, you know, man having the last say because we are, you know, we have more authority than everything else in that he created in the world. Yeah. Dominion also means being able to take your past experiences, exactly what you said, being able to take your past experiences and making it work for you now. Mm-hmm. That's having dominion. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not just limited to just power over the small things, but it's power over life. Looking at God now is just totally different. And I understand it's balance. When the testings and the trials come, it's balance.
Yeah.
Does it feel good? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, is it for a greater cause? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I know that a lot of people right now are, they're hurting and they're going through a lot of, you know, traumatic experiences dealing with all these deaths. I just have hopes that people could actually find something in what we're discussing now and apply to their daily routine, like to get them out of the habits, the bad habits, because we're learning. You know, I'm still learning.
Absolutely.
We're all learning. Yeah, absolutely. We're all constantly learning. And, you know, I don't want people to take this and listen to this and then just walk away from it like, oh, well, that was just another homeboy podcast. You know what I mean? No, this is like information that we could actually apply to life. This helped me in my worst of times. I'm telling, like, people don't get when I say life literally was like falling apart. Life was literally falling apart, bro. The stress was real. The high blood pressure, the blood clotting up, trying to pass through my neck locking up, and me almost going into seizures, high blood pressure levels, 165 over 125. Come on, man. Like, that wasn't anything to be playing with. You know, nothing. Without any medication, that wasn't nothing to be playing with. You know what I mean? So it was a battle for my life because I feel like I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what's going on, there's always a greater purpose for why it's happening. And again, we go back to balance. Like you said, if it happened, it had to happen because our past experiences brings us new revelation. It brings us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It gives us more insight on what's to come and what to prepare for. And that's the thing right there that I can actually appreciate in going through. Not talking about death, but just talking about life.
Yeah.
Just life in general. You got to find something to appreciate in it. Yeah. You just can't give up because things begin to fall apart. And that's what I'm hoping that people get from this dialogue, you know? So, but yeah, man, what would you add to that, bro?
Well, What would I add to that? I'm glad
you said if you have anything.
Because what have is an equation.
Okay.
Some math. You ever heard of the saying, the sum of all fears?
Mm-hmm.
The sum of all fears, the grandest catastrophe that could ever happen, the most horrible thing that could ever be imaginable, fathomable, actually happen. Mm-hmm. Sum of all fears, the perfect storm that would destroy us, right? I declare today a new approach, a new man.
Mm. Come on, help us out, bro.
Peril, purpose. If you take peril and you add purpose to it, it equals courage. You take that courage and you multiply it by people.
Yeah.
Then you create a new experience. And that false experience appearing real is the experience that they didn't experience with you, but the one that you gave to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of that creating fear.
Yeah.
That creates love.
Yeah.
Love for you. Love for the inspiration that they receive from you to be better versions of themselves.
Yes.
To overcome the peril.
Yeah.
And they continue to multiply that. So that's it. Just like I've been seeing on Facebook and social media all day for the last 24 hours, what the world needs now is love.
Come on, man.
It's love.
I just need love, man.
Fear is the lowest vibrational that you can have. It is actually the zero point of feeling. It's fear.
Yeah.
Love's the highest.
Love's the highest.
So the way that we turn them tables, man.
Yeah.
Love somebody, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really love them.
Just love, man. That's what it all boils down to. That's what we've been lacking for all these years. Love. And this is a reflection of that. This we all have to suffer for it. Because it hasn't been on the forefront of everybody's brain. Love. I like that, bro. I like that. So we had a little bit more. I know I had more. Did you have more? I know we're looking at time.
No. I made sure that I didn't go too deep
into the
layers
too.
And the levels, man.
But I did have more. I wanted to kind of go into a little study, but of the nature of man versus the nature of God. But we can say that for another time. This was a good build. I think they had enough. I don't want to drown them out. We don't want to drown
them out. Too much darkness and too much light are equally blinding.
Come on. That's good.
Those who believe in balance.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. So, hey, welcome to the cool spot. The place where creative millennials meet. You know what I'm saying? But now I just want to thank you all once again for tuning in. To Table Talk at the Cool Spot podcast. We're hanging out with your true Lamar DeSena
and Michael AKA Jenkins
Lyrical
Jr.
Storyteller and my boy.
Michael Jenkins Jr. I ain't gonna put all them titles and stuff on there. What we doing that for?
Yeah. We don't need all that. I think they get it. Yeah. So but yeah, man, this was a great build. I'm super excited about the release of this, and definitely respond, leave some comments. Go to the website, www.thecoolspot.com. Check out the Patreon. Support the work. I know right now it's perilous times for everybody, but you know, anything that you're able to give, whatever's laid on your heart, you can start off at $3. Whatever is laid on your heart, definitely support the work, pledge, support the movement. Check out the Facebook page, The Cool Spot NC on Facebook, Instagram, it's The Cool Spot NC. What else is out there? Twitter, I'm on Twitter, The Cool Spot NC on Twitter, And yeah, I think that's about it.
That's a lot.
Think of it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
So please support the movement. We can't do this without you guys. Just share it. Share it. The information to be on your social media pages. Just look us up. You can look me up, find me on social media at Lamoy DeSena, or you can hashtag the cool spot. You can Google that. And my information, of course, Mike's information show up. But Mike, share with the world how could they get in touch with you, brother?
Contact me directly, man. Contact me directly. mjenkins1007@gmail.com. Any questions that you have whatsoever about these particular podcasts, my input on these particular podcasts and on these talks here at the Cool Spot with Mr. Cool Spot. any and everything, because now I have the time.
Yeah.
I want to use that time wisely to not embody myself in fear, but to share love and shit. And here's another thing, just really quickly about that whole
thing. Close us out, brother. Close us out.
I believe that Lamoy DeSena and myself were in fear that this wasn't going to work.
Why would you expose me like that, bro?
but I'm not finished. It was a comma, not a period. I was pausing.
Yeah. That was
good. We were in fear that this was not going to work. Mm-hmm. However, that was the peril. Right?
Yeah.
But our purpose overcame that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the reason why it's out here.
Absolutely.
And the way that we are going to continue to raise those vibrations is from the love that we can get from everyone that has the ears to hear that are hearing this. Mm. So go on and share that love with us, because we're sharing. Yeah. Let's overcome this fear in this 2020 COVID-19 and all these other things, and let the new vision be love.
Absolutely.
Not fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bro, thank you, man. I did forget that the blogs are on my website. I do have, as it was today, today is April 4th, 2020, and I have a new blog that I'm going to release tomorrow. It's about addictions and crisis. So definitely, it's already completed. I just have to get it proof read and yeah. So expected by April 5th, 2020. Go to the website, check it out, support the movement, become a member, sign up for free, two-click process, sign up with your Gmail or your Facebook, really, really quick and easy, all right? So thank you guys once again. You're truly Lamoy DeSena. So thank you guys once again, all right? Peace.
Peace.